Hey, welcome to FQ,
where we talk about faith, family, and friends.
I'm Jacob.
And I'm George.
And welcome to this week's podcast. Hey guys, welcome to this week's podcast. It is me, Jacob.
And me, George.
Him, Jorge. So it is December 30th.
We are goat boys today.
Yeah, because George has a goatee, so we had to do it. So it is December 30th, 2022, a day before New Year's Eve.
Yeah, day before the end of 2022.
This will be the last podcast of this year, everybody. I know, sad, but we'll be back next year.
Yes, we will.
So
this has been I think we should do like a kind of a little year in review, because my year wasn't as crazy this year because I was already in my new job, but your year has been pretty, your year this year was kind of like my year last year. And as far as quitting a job and moving, but you moved, I just moved into the next town over. You moved half a country away.
Yeah.
True. You became F cubed Midwest or South.
Yeah. Midwest is still with you.
South Central.
Yeah, I'm South Central Compton. No. But yeah, I definitely, it has been a year for sure. We obviously, like George, you've settled into what you're doing, and it still took time, and we still somehow got 1,000+ minutes of podcast time out there. And I'm like, I did not think we did as well as we did, but we did. We still got a lot of content out, which I was like, huh. I think the hardest thing is, so anybody listening, is we don't know. We kind of know how many people listen, but we don't know if you guys like it a lot, if you're a frequent listener, like are you subscribed or anything. And so we need you to like, subscribe, and then leave a 5-star comment. If you don't like us, message us so then we can maybe change things. And if you just are like, hey, you need to change everything, then just don't listen. Don't leave us a review.
Yeah, I mean, we probably won't change that much. I mean, we're not gonna start cussing, you know, we're not gonna start swearing. That's just not something that we do. We're not gonna start getting, you know, we're gonna be us. And we're, for the most part, semi-solid dudes. I mean, we're solid in our faith. I'll say that. We're solid in our faith. I'm not always solid in my emotions, or, you know, maybe not even always in my, my emotions or my mental status. But as far as my faith, that's pretty solid, you know. I know it's been hard, you know, over the past year, and actually it's been a lot of years for me that there's been some faith shaking stuff going on, but at the same time, it hasn't rattled me. It hasn't caused me to go away from the Lord. If anything, it's caused me to go deeper and grow deeper and try to be more loving and more humble, which I am. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you how humble I am. That's how humble I am.
How humble you are. But yeah, I agree with you. Like,
but there, you know,
there has been definitely things that have caused thoughts and been like, man, God, what are you doing? For sure.
Yeah. And we were talking not too long ago about just some, you know, things that you were battling with that, like, I was like, dude, I haven't heard you talk like that before. And I understand it. You know, I've definitely been there right with you, and we were able to talk about things and really go, okay, God's brought you through. God's brought us both through. But it was really an attack of the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, like that, you know, like you were getting beat up. We were getting beat up. Like Amory felt it that while you were going through stuff.
Yeah.
She was feeling like just, you know, we both got COVID. We both got strep, and she got it bad. And she was like, I feel like this is more than just a virus, that it's an attack, you know? Because we just started talking about, okay, this is like, we're going to get into some good stuff here. We're going to be really getting into some, you know, we're helping out at the church more. We're getting into some more, you know, warfare for our families, praying for our families. And then, boom, you know, right away, that happened, and still praising God through it. And your situation.
Yeah. And I think like this song, I don't know if you can hear it, but this song reminds me of what you said, because you're like, I was rattled, but not thrown off. Can you hear the song or no? I have it real quiet.
I can't hear it, no.
What about now? You should be able to hear it.
Yeah. Turn up a little bit. If it's a song on Spotify, we can play it.
It's Rattle. Oh, well then, I'm playing Spotify.
Read some of the lyrics. I can't hear it real good, but...
Like, your internet seems choppy tonight, my friend. Let me see.
Here, let me... Because I can hear...
Because it's sad. Let me... Sorry, I'm skipping around, people. So... It says... hang on. Can you hear? You froze. I don't know. Go. Oh, there you go. I was like, I can't see George moving. Now you're moving in time.
You were frozen too, so I don't know if it's... But I switched it off to the Wi-Fi and to my phone data, which is so...
Can you hear it now better?
Yeah. What's the name of that song?
Rattle. It's got Brandon Lake. So that just being said, is that I just feel like that I never thought of that, but that song is like spot on, because I'm like, it has been a year, but I think I told you about it where I was like, I'm not going to lose anymore. Like, I'm done losing.
Yeah. We were talking about that. That's exactly what you said. And I mean, you were dealing with some health issues, you know, you went through that, and then some, an attack from the enemy in your workspace.
Yeah.
You know, I really feel that's what it was, you know, that like, it didn't take you out, but also it was something that you didn't even want to talk to your wife about.
Yeah.
But then once you did, that brought a, freedom.
I would say almost
word for it.
A healing.
Yeah. Yes.
Like a freedom.
And it's like when we can speak those things out,
so
it takes away the foothold of the enemy.
I know we normally don't do this, people, but there's another good song that I want you to just hear. It's from Gabriel Price and Friends, and it's I Need You. And let me see.
Punching through a wall in the parsonage. The congregation can't see me crying. I've got a swollen eye from wrestling my demons every night. And Uncle Screwtape won't be my life's sport. I've got two spare tires and far more county lines than exit signs. I'm on this road until my engine dies. I need you. If I'm being honest, I haven't been honest in a couple of years now. I need you. If the land I take is another step away from you, I don't want it.
Hold on, let me skip ahead a little bit because there's one part that I really like that you're like, oh man. Let's see.
Have some guts, kid. This is ministry. Yeah.
Right here.
Your bruises make a lovely accessory. Have some guts, kid. This is ministry. Have some guts, kid. This is ministry. I need you.
But that song, like, so the associate pastor talked about it, and I mean, it's true, though. Like, if you listen to the words, like, in the beginning, he said, I gotta mute it because it'll start playing again. But he said, I broke my wrist punching the walls through the parsonage. The congregation can't see me crying. I've got swollen eyes from wrestling the demons every night. I don't know if I can zoom. Oh, I can. And so it says, Uncle Screwtape, that made me laugh. Won't be the last one. And then, like, just different things like that. It goes down, like, hey, I can't be honest. You got to let it hurt. Or imagine is there only things worth. His is the kingdom and yours is the church. Smile with your teeth, kid. Your bruises make a lovely accessory. Have some guts, kid. This is ministry. And a lot of times I feel like that's what we think of the pastor sometimes. And I mean, that's a youth pastor. That's a worship leader. That's the small group leader. That's the ushers. That's different people that are in ministry. Like, hey, you can't have a hard time. It's especially leadership in church. Like, you can't. Like, George, you're helping that small group. You can't have your own struggles. Just chill, man. Like, and it's a lie from hell, like saying, hey, if you're struggling or having a hard time, you can't talk to nobody about it.
And it's definitely a lie from the enemy. And we've talked about this before. The church as a whole, and I'm not going to say any congregations or anything or denominations, but the church as a whole has done a disservice to people by saying, once you're saved, you can't have any problems. And I know I grew up in that. I know a lot of people that have. And the most connected I've felt with pastors or other leaders in the church is the ones that are real, and we'll talk about their struggles, because we have struggles. Just because we're following the Lord doesn't mean we don't have struggles.
Yeah.
It means that we have the Lord to go to, you know, and we have a hope, but it doesn't mean we don't have issues. We don't have problems. We're human too. And you should be praying for your pastors because they're probably getting beat up, whether it's by the congregation, whether it's just in their own mind, heart, and emotions, which sometimes we can be our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
And when we don't bring those things up that we're dealing with, it gives the enemy a foothold. Like we were talking about with what you were dealing with, you didn't want to tell your wife. I'm sure you probably didn't want to tell me either, but yeah. once you did, because our feelings and our emotions can get the better of us. And sometimes it can be embarrassing, it's hurtful. Especially as men, we've been taught that we can't have struggles. We can't cry. And my kids will tell you, my dad shot that one out the window. He cries all the time. But, man up. Well, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means anymore. Not that I don't want to know what that means. I get it. And we are supposed to be strong. But if we're always strong and never vulnerable, then we're not truly being strong. And we're giving the enemy a foothold to attack us further. But when we make those things, put them out there and say, hey, I need prayer for this issue. I need someone to walk with me through this issue. Then we're taking that arrow, that fiery dart of the enemy away from him. Where by doing that, we're putting up our shield of faith.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people need to hear more nowadays than ever. Like, just because you have an issue doesn't make you weak in the Lord.
Yeah.
In our weakness, he is strong.
Yeah. It's true. And like, what's interesting is there's a book that I'm listening to. You remember we had Joe Caminiti on before. It's been a year and a half, 2 years almost.
He was one of our first guests.
I actually messaged him and was like, hey, bro. It could
have been almost 3 years.
Yeah. I was like, bro, you need to come on again. And like, he's all, yeah, for sure. So we will have him in the new year.
He's a good, solid dude.
But he sent us on a rabbit trail. I don't know if you remember, but he told us, hey, check out this book. My dad was in it for Leadership Pain. And I've listened to it and you really just listening to these pastors who are like, hey, I want to do this, this, and that with my congregation. And people hurt me, people backstab me. The church is ruthless just as normal society. And so when people are like, oh, people are messed up at church. Yeah, they are. but they're also messed up just in the world if you're not following Jesus. What I've noticed is if you're somebody hurts you and is, and I guess I might be wording this wrong, but really following Jesus or I almost want to say a real Christian, that they will eventually make it right. Like one of the guys, I listened to his book and, so it has different pastors and the main guy talking about it, and he mentioned he had been at this church in Hawaii. He started it started growing really well, and a guy started talking behind his back and was who is a leader in the church, and he was I'm gonna have to fire him and all this stuff. But he goes, I gotta talk to all these guys that are with him, because they're doing fishing trips without him. And he goes, basically they're fishing for the morning, but having me for lunch because they're talking so much behind my back and like causing all this riffs. And he goes, it really hurt me because I didn't know what I needed to do. And so he's like, I prayed about it and all this stuff. And he goes, I'm just going to fire him when we get back. And his wife goes, have you done everything you could have to help him and give him a chance? And he's like, no. And he goes, we had one more week on our tour in Australia. Cause I guess he was preaching there. And he goes, I was so frustrated with my wife's question. Cause it was so true. And like, I think I can't remember what happened, but basically he offered him like a peace treaty. And I think the guy was like, no, I don't want it. And I was like, that just lets you know their heart, like where they're at. And people can be crappy and it's okay. But I think one of the things that really resonated is where the, is this person worth fighting for? Like the friendship, like, cause people are going to mess up. Like I might let you down. You might let me down. I might get upset or whatever, but I would never be like, well, I'm done with George. I'd be like, oh man, he didn't come help me do this. But that doesn't mean our friendship's over because of it. Like, you might be hurt that, hey, man, you said you're going to come visit this day, and then you just decided, nah, I'm going to go on vacation. You'd be like, what the heck, man?
Right. And, I mean, and sometimes we do have people in our lives for just a season,
yeah,
you know, and that's okay, too. I don't like, I don't like that term, because to me it's like, well, once you have a good friendship, it should always be a good friendship. But even that, like, can be seasonal. Like, we, you know, we were in a season from seeing each other almost every day to, you know, now we, you know, talk maybe once a week and, you know, do a podcast as, you know, as often as we can, you know, once,
yeah,
hopefully we'll get it down to more doing it at least once a week, this new year. But it's, you know, it doesn't mean our friendship has stopped, but I've had, you know, friendships that those guys were there for me when I needed it. And I was there for them when they needed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and would I still consider them friends? Yes, absolutely I would. Do I talk to them that often? No, I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But it was, we were there for each other through the times that the Lord had us together, you yeah. know.
No, that totally makes sense. And I think the hardest issue is like, there are like you said, like there are friends that you're like, man, I really love that guy or that girl. If it's that kind of friendship of girls. I think if you're married, it's real weird to be like, hey, there's a girl that's my best friend. Cause that doesn't make sense. For a guy, I'm saying guy with girl, whatever. But what I'm saying
it
is,
doesn't.
Okay, I was right. And so I just,
no, it doesn't. I'm like, I know guys that do. I'm like, yeah,
I don't think it works.
I guess so. You know, like, yeah. I don't, you know,
it's a weird, that's a weird spot. But like Andrew, he's been on here. Not any of that. He's just my buddy, Andrew. And he was a youth pastor in Texas. Now he's like a small group pastor. And so at the same church. And, I just was like, me and him were best friends for like 6 years straight, like high school, college, all that. And then he stayed one more year. I moved, got married, joined the police department, and he went on adventures with the girl he was dating. And then they got married and they became youth pastors in Arkansas. And, Georgie disappeared. But is one of those things where I just saw, like, that friendship is still there. Like, me and him can talk like we'd been talking forever. But it's not the same as, like, me and you or me and, like, Caleb and Trenton and Ray. Like, I had talked to those guys and you, like, all the time, and it's, like, pretty consistent. And so it's like you said, there's a time and a season, maybe, for some people. And I'm like, I have the core guys that are a part of my group that I'm like, hey, I can tell you guys this and not have to worry about judgment, but more of a,
yeah,
hey, you're being an idiot, or hey, man, I'm going to pray for you right now and be there for you. And so I just think it is so cool, because I have, like I said, have had my trash kicked for the beginning, the last 6 months-ish, up and down. But I'm like, God has been so good through this. Like, and really, I'm starting to see more and more of why. Like, because I know God called us here, and I know God told us to come here. So people thinking, like, is he not sure? No, I'm sure. I'm supposed to be here. I'm like, there have been things where I've helped a guy that I would have never met if I never came here. There's a couple of youth that I've talked to that I've been here for that have had hard moments. And then this last week, we had two kids give their life to Jesus that were brand new. And so I'm like, there are things starting to work and momentum starting to grow. And I'm just like, hey, God, I'm like, it's almost like what in that book, what the pastor is talking about. He's like, man, I got my butt kicked. And he is talking about, like, he had like anxiety and depression. He goes, not like I'm going to kill myself depression, but just depression. And he goes, I had it for 4 years. Like, and he goes, I couldn't sleep. I had insomnia joined the party and all this stuff. And he goes, and finally my wife grabs me one day and goes, we're going to pray right now that you will not have to take any more sleeping meds or anything. He goes, I sleep like a baby ever since she prayed for me. And he goes, that's why we're a team. That's why we are one and together. And I was like, that is so, that's such like a good perspective of it that we sometimes lose it, even as like married couples, like, hey, we're one. So like, if your foot is injured, you are injured. Like, so like, it's not like, oh, my foot's injured. That other piece of my body that I just don't know about. And you're like, no, it's hurt. And so when your wife's down, like you said, when she had COVID, you're like, it was real tough for me, because that's something I can't just like fix so easy. And like those things, like when Jill had COVID, I was like, what the heck? Like, I just took care of her the best I could at the time when that happened. And like, it is one of those things that you gotta know, like, whether you're just, if you're a leader or anything like that, you need to have good, solid friends that love Jesus, that will call you out, but also be there for when you need it. Because there are plenty of times where you're like, I'm fine, and you're really not. So.
And sometimes that, you know, that is your wife. And I know that it's hard to be vulnerable to your wife sometimes, you know. I know it's hard for me, you know, you don't want to admit it when you're, you know, feeling some kind of way or, but at the same time, like, God put them in our lives to be our help mate. And, you know, people will get that, you know, wrong and say help mate, and there's, you know, and take it out of context. But what it means, help me, is to come alongside, You know, yeah. God created Eve from Adam's rib because to come alongside of him. And that's what our wives are doing. And us as men, we're like, I don't want help. I don't need help. I'm fine. I can figure it out. I can do this. But then, you know, when we do let ourselves be vulnerable and say, hey, could you take a look at this? You know, our wives might see something that we don't see, that we might be blinded to, because they can look at it from a different perspective. And then we're like, oh man, I wish I would have said something earlier. It would have been so much easier, you know.
Something we talked about in youth group was relationships. Well, I was talking, like, the sermon I did this last week was called, wait, let me see, it's at the top of this. I don't always remember the names. Oh, New Year, Old Wisdom. And so I was talking about relationships and in one part of it, and it, in Proverbs 13:20, it says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And so who are you walking with is really what I want to ask you. Are you walking with wise people or are you walking with fools? And then it says in Ephesians 5:15 through 16, it says, be very careful then now how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And then the last one is your words. It says Proverbs 18:20 through 21. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So it's just saying, like, watch your words. Know who's in your corner. If you're following somebody that is always, I don't know how to put this any other way, dumb, like saying dumb things, being dumb, like being disrespectful to their wife. And they're like, I guess this reminds me of a time when I was a police officer. There was a guy who was cheating on his wife, and it like was gut wrenching to me. Like, this dude was like, and like, there was another officer there that they would always go together and they'd flirt and he'd like pinch her butt and all this stuff. And me and my partner both were like, I just don't like it. Like, I don't like seeing him do that. He has a son with his wife, and I, like, not that I was checking out his wife or anything. Don't get me wrong. She is pretty. She is a pretty lady. And I'm like, the lady at the, at our work that he's flirting with, I was like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I'm like, you have like a Bentley. And then I was like, you have a jalopy over here. Like, I don't understand. I saw that's like a garbage truck that's been busted. That's all I'm saying. and so I'm
it's like, if you would invest that time that you're investing into the jalopy, into the Bentley, you know, or, you know, whatever,
yeah,
then your Bentley would stay tuned up.
Yeah.
But instead, you're letting that rust in the driveway and spending your time on something that's already junk.
Yeah. And that,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like, the funniest thing that a pastor ever said once is, he's mentioning, he goes, hey fellas, you single fellas, he's like, I just want you guys to know, he goes, you might be hanging out with this girl and you're like, oh nah bro, she ain't my type, he goes I'm not trying to be judgmental, but she's ugly, like she's an ugly girl, like everybody's like, no, he goes, she's beautiful to somebody but not to you, just saying that. He goes, but you hang out with her long enough, and he goes, and then all of a sudden you start to hang out with her, do things with her, and he goes, she's kind of like a Cadillac right now. She's good looking. And he goes, no, she wasn't. You just hung out with the wrong girl the whole time. And he's like, and then all of a sudden you're down the road going, I made a mistake. Like, because I want, and he goes, I'm not just talking about looks. He goes, talking about personality. They're not following Jesus or anything like that. He goes, they can turn out looking like something real special and they're really not, because, and he goes, that counts for guys and girls, but it was a men's thing. And so he goes, don't hang out with somebody you know you shouldn't be. And he was like, he's just explaining it as like looks, but he goes, this counts for everything. So don't get mad at me, ladies. I'm not saying like any mean things. I'm just saying like that's, guys are more visual. Let's just be clear.
Well, and it can go both ways. I mean, I've heard this, that guys and girls say that, you know, this, that person is super hot.
Yeah.
Right up until they open their mouth, you know, and it's like, well, either they're saying that they were just dumb and couldn't carry on a conversation. They were so themselves that it just shut off. It just, anything that looked good on them that didn't look any good to them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you would have just kept your mouth shut and let me look at you. It would have been fine.
Yeah. But all that to say, like, what, like, how this relates to everything is like, what are you investing in, and like, how are you spending your life, and how are you doing that? And this is kind of right before New Year's Eve, and like setting some time aside where you're going to go, God, this year I'm really going to go after you. And there's going to be people that make this whole list of, hey, I'm going to do this checklist. Like, this doesn't need to be a crazy checklist. It just needs to be, hey, God, you know what? I'm going to try to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. If you say, like, I'm going to read it every day, the first time you mess up, you're like, it's over with. I'm done. So I'm just saying, like, make a goal of,
yeah, hey, I'm going to read my Bible and pray. Goals.
Yeah. And if you're reading your Bible and praying and you miss the day, like, it happens. But, like, I try to, and I'm not, like, saying, oh, holy is Jacob. But, like, I try to at least go, thank you, God, for something of that day. Or, like, I appreciate that I am healed, because I feel like with what I was talking a little bit about before, going through all these fires that I've gone through, some pastor and, or that guy in that book was talking about it. And he was like, he goes, sometimes you gotta get broken to get to where God's gonna make everything even better. He goes, you might have good things in your life, but you might have to sacrifice those good things for God to give you better things. And I was like, I never thought of that. So I was like, I really, like, there are things that I can look at and be like, man, this was better, that was better. Or, hey, this was easier, that was way easier. Like, I didn't have to work hard for this or that, and now that's harder to do. And I'm like, but it's not satisfying as it is now. Like, now it's like, man, God, like, you're awesome. Like, this is good. Like, you showed up here, you did this, and just seeing how God shows up with things that you're like, I never knew you'd show up for that. You know what I mean? Like, even knowing I know God's going to show up, it's just really,
yeah, hard. I mean, just, it was really hard for me this year coming back home, because I got stuck in Canada waiting to get unloaded. For those of you that don't know, I'm a truck driver, so sometimes we're at the mercy of when the, you know, I'm a tanker driver, so it's when they unload my tank. I can't just drop it and leave, or I'm not picking up another load. I need to have them unload me before I can leave. And so they were behind. They were having issues. There was bad weather. and some of the people on their team dropped the ball. Like the lines froze up, and instead of bringing it inside, because the pumps are outside, they'll bring them outside to unload our tanks with the pumps. They let one of the hoses freeze up, and instead of bringing it in and letting it thaw out, they left it for the next shift. So that put everything, I was 30, when they finally only unloaded me, I was 30 hours past my appointment time. And no fault of my own, but I couldn't leave. I was supposed to be home. I should have been home the day before Christmas Eve, at the very latest on Christmas Eve. And Anne-Marie was kept feeling like God promised that I would be home for Christmas, you know, and so did I. And I, so I'm getting out of there. I'm shooting to be home for, you know, late Christmas Eve or early Christmas Day. And the road gets closed. Too icy. Can't go anywhere. I drove right. Thankfully, I was able to get in a parking spot at the truck stop right before the closure, but it didn't open up until the next day. So that was another, you know, 24 hours at least that I couldn't go anywhere. And then it wasn't at a halfway point, or, you know, even like most of the way. I still, like, once the road opened, I was still going to have to stop in Boise before I could come home. So I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be home for Christmas. And as long as we've been together, this would have been the first Christmas that we weren't together.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was bummed about it and thinking like, Lord, you promised that I would be home. What the heck? And I was just praying and still feeling bummed. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to watch The Chosen. And I watched their pilot episode called The Shepherd. And it was really encouraging to me.
Yeah.
It was about a shepherd that was just like, it was from his perspective, basically, of seeing Jesus and something that he'd been waiting for so long and finally seeing it happen.
Yeah.
And it lifted, it encouraged me, you know, because yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to go on faith that this is what God's promised, and may not look at my time and my timing of what it's supposed to be, but God's going to come through. And, you know, and I did make it home on Christmas, albeit it was late. It was like 8:30, 9 o'clock when I got back to the house. You know, we did gifts then and, you know, had some food together and it was great. It was different than it's been in the past. You know, usually I was always home Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. But through it all and through me being bummed out and going, what the heck is going on, God? I was still blessed in it, and I still got answered, and, you know, he was faithful, and I was home for Christmas. And, you know, it didn't look like how I wanted it to, but God's still, it's still, God came through, you know? And that happens sometimes. Like, it doesn't look like we want it to, or what is God trying to teach us through this? And we're not, and we're just going, I don't want another lesson. Just do it, God. I don't want to learn something through this.
That,
you know, yeah. And how you're talking about praying more, and just like the Bible says, pray without ceasing. And people go, well, how can you pray without ceasing? And I can't take that. I don't take it completely literally. I kind of do, but what I think, to me, I should say, what it means is there's always, when you are a follower of Christ, when you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and and you have the Holy Spirit there, there is always a time for open communication. God is always there, ready for you to speak with him. And you don't need to have free worship songs and a sermon and a couple of Bible verses before you get hear from God or before you talk to God. You can just do it like you and I are talking right now. And I think that, to me, that's what pray without ceasing means, is that we know that we always have a time for open communication with God.
Yep. I agree. So, I don't know about you, but I think this is probably a good spot to stop.
Yeah. You know, I think we're going to go into a new year. And this last year has been a little crazy, but also good, you know. And let's go ahead and pray us out and pray for blessings in the new year for our families.
What do you think of if we played Rattle one more time before we got prayed and then got off?
I think I know, because we do this through Anchor, which is Spotify, I think we're okay to play anything on Spotify.
Yeah.
Because kind of owns the rights to it. So since we're on Anchor and Spotify, I'm pretty sure that gives us the ability to do that.
Did you say no, or so, you want to?
So let's go for it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I want to. I'm just saying, I think we can. And I think we should. I'm just saying, like, as far as like legalities go, who is Rattled By?
It's by Brandon Lake.
Okay, so Brandon Lake, if you hear our podcast, we would love to have you on.
Yeah.
We're going to play your song, Rattle.
And we will make sure to put Spotify, you in the notes.
So we're going with, since it's on Spotify, that we're okay to play this. And, hey, F-Cube fans, we hope this blesses you. And,
yeah, but you couldn't hear it because I had it muted, everyone. I thought you could hear it the whole time.
That's what I was like.
Well,
you see me shrugging my shoulders because I'm just.
I saw you shrug your shoulders. So, we love you all. Have a fantastic year. We are going to let this song roll all the way out. So, good luck. Why did I say good luck? I have no idea why I said that.
Keep listening to F-Cube.
Keep listening. Share. We love you guys. You. Have a super awesome year.
Subscribe.
Buy a hat.
Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment, Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming now. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Pentecost.
Hey guys, we love you. If you listen to the end of the song, we love you guys. Have a blessed New Year's, and God bless all of you.
Amen.
Have a good New Year.